Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You ain't heard nothing yet.
Houston, we have a problem.
They're here.
Stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Brooklyn Buddha. Bill Codd, huh? The Brooklyn Buddha Podcast on the Wild Jones Podcast Network. I tell you guys, this is an exciting one because Bill is an amazing actor as well as a comedian. Not so much a comedian, but a comedic actor. He has did stand-up. He's from St. Louis. And this guy was he's one of the stars of the movie The Ringer with Johnny Knoxville, as well as he's worked with Johnny Depp and his Saturday Night Live, the ambiguously gay duo. The list goes on. IMDb, this dude. And that's Marvin meowing in the back. Anyways, I'm really excited to talk to him. I got my main man, producer Jamie Jones right here, Wild Jones Podcast.
What's up, family?
There he goes. I'm excited about bringing Bill on here because the one thing is Bill has this thing. Like, Bill did this thing the Three Stooges. He wanted to be Curly, and he went and made a video for that, and the Farrelly brothers took notice of that. And then he had just worked with the Farrelly brothers, and he was there's so many things. You know what, let's fucking talk to him. Bill Codd, it is amazing to have you on here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I'm excited as well. He actually he used to stay with me. He would come in from St. Louis.
You helped me retransition back to L.A.
Yeah, you did. You come and stay with me in my room. We have a two-bedroom, and he would stay. And Jamie, he's not a svelte man. Well, I'm not a svelte man. You're not a svelte man. He's got a sleep apnea machine.
Nice.
So I came in the room, and I was like, what the fuck is that? That shit.
I'm on life support. Don't worry about it.
I'm like, honey, he's dying. That shit scared the shit out of me. That was the first time I saw it. And Joey Diaz has one. Mm-hmm. And Joey's like, you know you're fat when you got peanut butter on your sleep apnea. I was fucking dying.
That's funny.
I've been trying to, I'm doing without it temporarily just because I had a gap in my insurance and I was like borrowing my brother's CPAP. You're not supposed to like share CPAP. I was borrowing my brother's, and then his doctor said, well, what, you know, how's everything going with your CPAP? And he's like, well, I haven't been using it. He's like, you just start using it again. So I had to give back the CPAP to my brother. So temporarily until I get my new one. I'm using Pure Sleep, which is like a thing that takes your jaw and sticks it out underneath, and it causes you not to snore quite as much.
That's hilarious. Oh, my God. My father and I have gotten this, I don't know, it's a trade or whatever the hell it is, but it's not, the word's not trade, like collecting, like, junk. Like, if I see, like, a nice dresser, like, I'll pick it up, bring it in the house, clean it up, whatever. Freaking, you're picking up CPAPs off the side of the street in downtown L.A. Do you need that? Nah, I'm good.
It's clean.
Oh, my God, that's fucking funny. Oh, my God. So, you know, don't want to dig any wounds, but last we spoke, mm-hmm. you were in a marriage which you thought was good, mm-hmm. and then...
It was good, you know. Things happen, you fall apart, people want different things, right. She wanted a woman.
Oh, yeah,
so,
she wanted a woman.
I actually know the woman she's with now, Jackie, she's really sweet. You know, they're happy and they're together, and I found somebody new. I'm with a great girl named Sam, Samantha.
Sam.
She's not a guy.
Yeah, I was going to say. He's like, Sam, you found a guy.
No. Sam's really sweet. We actually went to the same college together.
Okay.
Many, many years apart.
All right.
And I went back there for a fraternity party, and she was in the sister sorority of that fraternity, and we just wound up talking, and we started dating from there and did a long-distance thing. Now we're married and living in Sacramento. Where you're from? Pasadena.
Oh, so you're still in Pasadena. You're thinking about moving from Pasadena?
I'm happy with Pasadena because it's like, if you plan the right time of day, it's like 20 minutes. It's quicker than getting here
from
the
west side. Are you taking the subway?
No. No, I just plan my ride, you know. I don't drive at like 9:30 in the morning, 9 a.m.
What's your exact address? Social security number. No, that's good. You know, fucking Pasadena is great. You've been over there, Jamie, right?
Yeah.
That Colorado Street is just like, you ever go there for sneakers?
Yeah, I'm in Glendale, so it's right next
to that. Oh, yeah. That sneakers right are great over there, man.
What sneakers? I never been there.
Oh, that famous sneaker store right there. Right on Colorado, in that whole shopping area.
Like the Paseo?
It might be. Probably. They have so many fucking, like, 400
brands.
One
of those high-end sneaker shops, Mad, like Flight Club.
Or, yeah, okay. They're really high-end, yeah. But they're really good, yeah. But, all right, good. So, you know, the thing is with you, it's funny because people need to know. I was in St. Louis headlining the comedy club, and this guy, I can't remember his name.
Ray Brewer,
yeah, great guy. He was the manager of the club. He's like, oh, man, my friend Bill would love you. Blah, blah. Maybe he was just trying to get Bill a place to stay when he's in L.A. Right? But whatever, I took the bait, and I met Bill, and then Bill did end up staying with us, and great. Bill's just a great guy. Anything I ever ask him for, like if I say, hey, I'm shooting a trailer, boom, he's there to do it, you know, do the podcast. And, you know, he's a busy working actor. One thing that I pride myself on is being a master of improvisation, really knowing how to take it in an audition, use it on a TV or movie set. And you, I fucking bow down to you as a genius.
Thank you.
Improvisational comic. You know, I put you up with you know, the Overtons and the Scott LaRoses. Well, you know what I mean?
It's really
and,
good company.
You know, the Corrals,
yeah.
Colbert's. And that's the thing.
Stephen Colbert was my very first improv teacher.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, so that was a great.
And that was at Second City?
Yeah. I auditioned for the conservatory, which, you know, you have to audition to get in.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, you need more Chicago style experience. So they put you into a class called Improv for Actors.
Right.
And so he was the teacher of that class. And so it was me and Rich Tallarico, who's now one of the writers on Key and Peele. He wrote for Tonight Show. Mad Saturday Night Live. We both started out training with Colbert, and then he was my very first teacher.
So the greatest thing about that story, which I know, is you went to work for Dana Carvey, and then Colbert was on that?
Yeah.
With Steve Carell?
Yeah.
Holy shit, you're a fucking teacher. What did they say? The grasshopper becomes the teacher? You know, the student becomes the teacher. How great is that?
Yeah, that was, well, it was awesome. I learned so much, you know, from Colbert in class, but also from watching the two of those guys and the whole cast of people they were working with on the main stage there at Second City.
Oh, sure.
I'd watch them like five nights a week, six nights a week, and I learned so much.
Yeah, from when you're part of it, it's free. You can just walk in and watch and enjoy. Yeah.
Well, after they've seated all the paying customers.
No, of course. Yeah.
But and you know, just being able to work with those guys, you know, and to be considered a peer with them was just overwhelming. I think for me, kind of made me back off. I didn't write that much on the Dana Carvey show because I was surrounded by people who had, you know, like Charlie Kaufman and Louis C.K., Robert Smigel.
Smigel was on it, yeah. Robert Smigel, Jamie, you know who he is? He does the poop on that fucking one.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Chicago, did you see the one when he went to Chicago?
Oh, yeah.
With the dog at Wiener, the Wiener Circle. Do you know about the Wiener Circle? It's all these black girls, and you come in, let me get a hot dog. What the fuck do you want, motherfucker?
Where's that
at? In Chicago.
Oh, Chicago, yeah. I seen one in Philly.
This shit is crazy, son. They're mean.
Man.
So they had the white dude, Jack McBrayer, from 30 Rock, the pig. So he comes in, and he's like, hey, can I get in? They're like, bitch, what the hell do you want? They're talking shit to him because you're not very nice. I'm going to come back. He's like, oh, who the fuck you going to bring back? And he brings back Triumph. And he ripped them apart. That video went viral. That shit was on Conan. That was so funny.
That's funny.
But so did you live in Chicago?
Yeah, I lived in Chicago for about 5 years.
You didn't commute back and forth for Second City from St. Louis?
No.
Your school.
I do know people who did that.
No, I don't know. I have heard people do that.
Yeah. I moved there. I graduated from college, spent a year working. That was when, like, everywhere was opening up a comedy club, you know? And before that, St. Louis just had the Funny Bone, and then they opened up Catch a Rising Star.
Right.
And so Ray, who we were talking about earlier, Ray had studied in Chicago, and he had started off, I think, shuttling back and forth between St. Louis and Chicago, and then moved there for a while.
And was he good at improv?
He's amazing at improv.
Yeah, he should
be teaching. I kept on trying to tell him, you should be teaching. He loves working with kids, so mostly when he teaches, he's teaching kids.
Yeah.
Ray's amazing. You know, you wouldn't know it because he's kind of shy about that.
Yeah.
He'd make a great stand-up. He just, you know, you give him a mic and he'll kill despite himself.
Right.
So Ray had studied there previously, and he had started a troupe with Tom Johnson, who was one of the original Daily Show.
Sure,
writers.
Sure. You know
Tom? Yeah.
Well, Tom, so. I opened for Tom when he first kind of started. He was a feature, and it was like one of the first times he ever featured, and I was the opener, and the headliner was Dak Raykow, which he would remember because Dak took Tom under his wing.
Oh, wow.
And he took him out all over the road, and he was like, yeah, you know, we're going to do this.
Characters that you did for years at Second City was Thomas, which he ends up booking the lead role in The Ringer, where you play a handicapped kid at a Special Olympics, whatever the hell it is. And that was like, watching that, I thought you were handicapped. And Ray's like, you got to meet my friend. I'm like, oh, I got to meet your handicapped friend? What do you mean? He's like, oh, no, he's not handicapped. And it didn't matter if you're handicapped because my mom taught the handicap and my sister, and I have a deep, deep thing in my heart for handicapped children. It upsets me when people make fun of it.
Yeah.
But when you did it so good, it was like I thought you were mentally had a situation. So then
Thank you.
Yeah, dude, it was great. And that's one thing that I remember talking to you as well as reading. Jamie, I don't know if you know this. The Farrelly brothers, whenever they normally have like a handicapped guy on their in their thing somehow. Like there's a guy with that foot or something, or the guy with the, you know, there's all they really care about it. Like from what I read it was a long time that movie coming, right? They had a lot of issues with the
they
Special Olympics.
They had to
Olympics.
Fight for it, yeah, because, you know, well, they were, first of all, they needed to get a name attached to it, and they'd hand it to people like Jennifer Garner read it, and I think she has, you know, relatives who might be developmentally disabled, and so she was insulted by it, mm-hmm. maybe didn't read it all the way through and see what the payoff was, you know? Because when you hear the setup, the concept that the guy's trying to rig the Special Olympics, sounds incredible, especially when you say Johnny Knoxville, Farrelly Brothers, whoa. So it took a long time to do that, and then the economy started tanking for the first time ever. And so then they lost some investment in it, and then originally it was going to be 20th Century Fox. They backed off, and they did it through Fox Searchlight. And then finally, when they had it up and running, and we shot it, it was in the can, ready to go. Then, who would ever predict that Boston would wind up winning the World Series?
Right.
And they were in the middle of finishing up Fever Pitch, which was about Boston winning the series.
I just watched Fever Pitch the other day,
and they were like, "This isn't going to happen again. We got to rush this film." So even though we had waited all those years, 5 years. For it to finally come to fruition.
Right.
And then we couldn't release it yet because it wasn't the opportune time. They wanted that other movie.
It wasn't shot. It was shot?
It was shot and in the can. Well, we waited five years to get it made, and then we waited an extra year beyond when the release date was because of Fever Pitch.
And it was Katherine Heigl, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So gorgeous. So gorgeous. Yeah. And just a sweetheart?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was really nice.
And I remember you telling me all the handicap the actors, they still call you and they still
keep in touch
with you.
Those guys all the time. Eddie Barbanel and John Taylor.
Yeah, and I've seen them, I think, in some other things.
Oh yeah,
lately actually.
Yeah, yeah.
They're working.
They both work all the time.
They work more than you.
they do. That's why I always pick up the phone. Hello. Yeah. How's it going, buddy?
Hey, you got something?
No, but like Eddie Barbanel was just, he's done several episodes of Workaholics.
Yeah.
John Taylor's always doing some sort of dramatic acting as well.
Who was the guy who he played the handicapped guy? He was the other one, but he's not handicapped.
Well, there was a couple different guys. Jeffrey Arend.
He's kind of little. He's kind of smaller, isn't he? He kind of was like, yay.
Oh, Jed Reese?
Yeah.
Jed Reese. Yeah, we also worked together in Galaxy Quest.
Okay.
He played one of the Thermians in that movie.
Right. Yeah. Because I remember watching. But anyways, so that was, was that your, your biggest break
to date, I think. Yeah. Okay. Because, you know, I still haven't had anything that's topped that in terms of exposure. Like, I was on the poster for it. I was, you know, all throughout the trailer.
Right.
And my heart was in that project, you know. It was amazing to work on it. So nothing has been as impactful as that film has, and nothing has affected my career as much as that film has.
Have you worked with them on anything? Is there anything? Have you talked with them?
With the Fairleys?
Bobby and Peter, like, hey, Bill, we got
They're always in contact with me when something comes up that I'm right for. You know, I found out they were working on Three Stooges when we were working on, you know, you talked about that earlier. Mm-hmm. Found out they were working about that when we were working on The Ringer, and I was like, I want to be Curly. And, you know, I didn't get it. Will Sasso got it. I thought he did a good job. That's a tough thing to take on, though, to try to recreate The Stooges.
Right.
So I thought
it was a pretty good movie. I enjoyed it. It was amazing that they went with that guy that was a no-name for Mo. You know, not that he might have been a no-name. He just was, I never heard. Because what was it first? It was Jim Carrey.
Yeah, originally they had...
Benicio Del Toro and fucking Sean Penn.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Sean Penn would have hit a good Larry. When you look at Sean Penn and imagine him with, like, you know, sparse red curly hair.
Yeah, Sean Hayes did great as Larry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he did amazing.
It was great. You know, I enjoyed it. I mean, that's, you know, something every morning I sat and watched every Three Stooges ever. You know, I've seen everyone.
So basically, I'm fighting a war of attrition with the Fairley brothers. Sooner or later, they're going to be like, we had to pass on him for like 16 projects. We got to hire him for this one.
Yeah, they've got it, right? They've got to pass. I mean, you did so great in The Ringer. So I definitely think another role, not amongst adults so much, but at Wizards of Waverly Place, you did 20, 30 episodes of Mr. Lariat or whatever.
Larry Tate, yeah. If I walk down the street, most adults wouldn't recognize me. Kids... I found now that they're trying to be cool and pretend like they don't recognize me. Because to them, and I can't explain this, but in their mind, it's like they're meeting Selena. They freak out, and it's like, don't you realize I'm a 44-year-old fat man who's bald and wears glasses, and you're treating me like I'm Justin Bieber?
Right.
So I love to do stuff like I just recently did a thing with Young Storytellers, which is a thing where kids get to write their own play,
right.
and they work with a mentor, somebody who's like a writer in the industry, and they have working actors come out and read these scripts. Sometimes they're hilarious because these kids have these incredible time dashes that are happening, or things that aren't quite as realistic, things that you would never see a supposedly creative adult writer put together. And then, you know, I go to events like that, and then, you know, I have to, like, worry about how I get out, because I'm worried that I'm going to get mobbed. But, you know, with adults, I can't get arrested.
So did you have a scene with Johnny Depp?
In the Rum Diary.
Okay.
Which was, it was about Hunter S. Thompson.
That's another Hunter S. Because
it's like a prequel.
Was that Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, right?
Yeah. So this was a book that had been sitting on his shelf almost his entire career about his earliest writing experiences, and then, you know, after his death and everything like that, there was a rush to turn it into a screenplay, and, you know, he had obviously Johnny Depp had a really great relationship with Hunter S. Thompson, so they made it into this movie, and it was shot in Puerto Rico, which was awesome. I had never been to Puerto Rico. I had been to like Canada. And parts of Europe, but I'd never been like down to the Caribbean to really see something fun like that.
That's awesome. I mean, and of course, I mean, so who's in it? Johnny Depp and who else?
Now you got me on the spot. Johnny Depp and
Bill Cott. God. Bill Cott is in it.
Yes. If you blink,
it's all good. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
So. You know, there's another thing, Jamie. He you watch The Office, right?
Love it.
Okay, so who's the ugly drunk one?
The ugly drunk one.
The ugly drunk one.
The chick?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He was in a comedy team with her.
Kate Flannery.
Kate Flannery. Yeah. Awesome.
And she's beautiful in real life.
She is beautiful.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
She and Scott Robinson play.
No, I saw her. I saw her right over here, and I'm like, what the fuck? Is that her?
Right. They dumb her down real good. Yeah.
Yeah, she's like, yeah. No, but she's beautiful in real life. But yeah. Her character is the ugly drunk. Yeah. And yeah, they do, like, he puts on a hat and he's. I don't know. Yeah, the lampshade like or something it's called?
I do like a really borscht belt sort of like manager who always wanted to be a comic and couldn't make it. He's bitter about it. He's called Artie Smitten.
Yeah.
And then she and Scott Robinson, who was in Anchorman the first
right,
one.
Right, right.
They have this lounge act where they're like, they always like remind people, we're not a couple. We are not a couple.
Yeah.
They got a Christmas show coming up at iOS.
So you're doing it. Where,
no. I'm not doing that one. There came a certain point where, you know, there were things that they needed to do with the act, and I couldn't be along for it. So,
right.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. I always support them in any
way. Have you guys met at Sex and City?
What's that?
Did you meet at Sex and City?
Actually, I met not necessarily through Sex and City, but through the world of Chicago and everything like that. Kate and I met, I think she had already lived out here in L.A. We met at the audition for... Dana Carvey show. There was a whole bunch of us, you know, running amok in a hotel.
Then Overton?
Because we had been fun.
Was Overton? I wonder if Overton was in that.
I don't think so. Or he wasn't out there with us when we were hanging out at that point.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, it was really fun because we were these people from Chicago who, you know, we were like, we hope that paying work comes along. And then all of a sudden we got this little tap and we got flown out to audition for that, put up at like the Beverly Hills, you know, Hilton or whatever.
Yeah. I was just at the Beverly Hilton last night. Gorgeous. So, yeah, oh my God, they put the Beverly Hilton?
Yeah. Wow. I think that was where it was. In my mind, I was just like, what's going on here?
And you're St. Louis to Chicago to Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
And that's your first time in L.A.?
That was my first ever time in L.A.
Wow.
Flown out here to do that. And, they had us in the middle of a parking lot at Igby's Comedy Club.
Which is no longer Jan here Smith, anymore. Who runs the Ice House Comedy Club, used to own it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. I got to look into that because now I'm in Pasadena.
Yeah.
I love the Ice House.
Yeah, I just
it's really cool place.
Oh, it's the best. One of my favorite. I just headlined there.
Really
2 weeks
smart
ago.
Place. Oh, damn it! I wish I would have known that.
Sunday night was sold out. Man, it's crazy.
Let me know like a week or so in advance so I can get tickets next time.
It is. I'll give you tickets of course. So, let's say, did you study dramatic acting, regular acting?
I did in college.
Before
I did in college.
You broke into the improv world.
Yeah. That was something that I, you know, because I didn't know. I knew I wanted to act. Didn't know if I was going to be comedy, dramatic, or, you know. I kind of knew I wanted to do improv, but I didn't know to what extent. So I studied drama kind of in high school and college. And then most of my studies were in improvisation. And the only other, like, acting studying that I've done that's outside of improv is with Leslie Kahn, who's amazing out here.
Yeah, I actually, through my acting class... I wasn't in Leslie Kahn, but I pretty much trained with her, like one of her best students.
Mm-hmm.
And my acting teacher made me do all my scenes with her for like a year straight. So I learned that sitcom pace.
Yeah.
You know, because so many times the actors, they read, then the other one reads. And it's like, you got to be on top of it. Boom, 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 boom. And I learned that sitcom pace. Actress's name is Elizabeth Bond. She works all the time. Leslie Kahn is great. If there's any aspiring actors out there, go there and learn the sitcom.
She'll whip you into shape quick.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if she can't improve your talent immediately, she'll improve your professional game, you know?
What year were you there?
Leslie Kahn, that would have been 2007 or 2008.
Was my neighbor, Leslie Cartman. She might have... Gorgeous blonde.
I'm sure I saw her around there. Yeah, because I was spending most of my time there. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
As you tend to do when we do it with Leslie Kahn, because it's like a whole kitchen full of food. Yeah, yeah. I think I'll hang out here a little bit longer.
Yeah. That's fun. So, a thing that you did that I remember when you called me, like, oh, I'm doing this. I'm like, fuck. I'm like, why is he doing it? Like, no, Jamie, it's like because he opened for the Smothers Brothers.
Yeah,
that was to me was like, holy shit, man. You know,
and I had really only about 15 or 20 minutes.
I remember because you were a new comic, and you're like, I'm doing this, and I was like, no, but I was happy for you. Yeah, I'm just being funny.
No, but I know how it is when you hear something like that. It's like, wait a minute, what is this guy who's not really a stand-up?
Yeah, you're not.
I
really
can do it, but it isn't what I do. It's not how I make my bread
and butter. And it was sold out, right?
Yeah, yeah. It was
a lot of blue hairs.
Yeah. A lot of older folks. I made a couple jokes about that.
Sure.
The local old folks home around St. Louis is Altenheim, and everybody knows that.
Right.
I was like, you know.
It's like, oh, thanks for Altenheim coming to see the show. Sponsored by Altenheim.
What time did your shuttle leave?
Things like exactly. You guys all come on the same bus. Yeah. Oh, that's great. So you're never, you know, with the TV credits and films that you have, mm-hmm. so many comics will push, or their managers or agents will push and go, what the fuck? Do a stand-up comedy. We could sell you out in Arizona. We could do this or that. How come you never pushed for that?
How come I never pushed for that?
Yeah.
I'm kind of wary to go out and travel around the country, for one thing, because I spent all my time trying to relocate myself here, and then I'd be out on the road. And especially now, I'd be so lonely, I think, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I found Sam. I found somebody I want to spend the rest of my life with. It would be really tough for me to hit the road. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoy working in an ensemble, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe it would sweeten the pot if it's like, hey, come tour the country with this sketch troupe or something like that.
Mm-hmm,
but I know how tough it is to be a stand-up. I don't envy that lifestyle at all. Yeah. I don't think I could put up with it. I don't think I could do it.
Yeah, it really is. You know, like Arsenio Hall is like, I'll see you in 23 hours, because that's all he can't wait until his show's back on. You know what I mean? That's the truth. Like, I remember watching as a young kid, he'd just see you in 23 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was on the road, and I was like, fuck, man, what am I going to do for 23 hours? Jerk off. That's all I'm going to do. Jerk
productive.
Off and eat. Like, it's funny because sometimes people come in my hotel room, and that thing will just be tore apart. And it's like, freaking, like, people are like, what the? I'm like, this is my home for this next 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I live. This is I throw it in here.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember I was in Atlanta doing shows, and it was like I fell asleep in the tub because I can't fit in my tub here. So you take tubs, Jamie?
Nah.
Yeah, I love tubs, man.
I love the snow,
but in Vegas,
tubs.
I always
I like a big jacuzzi.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Yeah, we call it the fuck tub.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I call it the same thing.
Yeah, I love the fuck tub, man. And so I'm getting this big ass tub in Atlanta, and I'm in this gorgeous, like one of the nicest hotels I've ever been in. It's have you ever been to Atlanta, either one of you?
Yeah. Hot Atlanta.
I can't remember. It's right by the Sheraton. It's like about two blocks away, and it's so huge. It's like almost like a mall in the
You're talking about.
Yeah.
I spent like all day in it.
Yeah.
Isn't it CNN Center? Isn't that what they call it?
Something like that. And you can just sit there, and there's coffee, and you're just in this couch. You're like, this is fucking better than any. Just this lobby is better than most hotels. Yeah. I fell asleep at like 2:30. I had to get it 7:15. I had to be catching the cab. And it was like, I got up at 6:30. Yeah, my room's a fucking mess. I wake up, I'm fucking running around, nigga. I'm like, what the fuck? And I just grab everything, throw it in my bag. And I was going to take the subway, and it was because it was cheaper, just take the subway there. And it was like, ah, fuck it. So I had to go spend the money on the cab. I said cab earlier, but I wasn't going to take the cab. And then it was like, so then, of course, my wife yells at me, you could have saved money with the subway. I was like, shut the fuck up. I wouldn't even be here. Like I told her later, but I wouldn't even made it. And I got there on time and crazy, but there was a. That's one thing of traveling so much. You're not seeing as much, but you've been to Minnesota, right?
Yeah.
You ever seen that airport where they have the piano and they play the piano? It's fucking amazing. It's gorgeous.
I missed that, I guess.
Yeah, really cool. Yeah. Anyways, so because you're hilarious, and I haven't seen you do like a dark, like I could see you. You did play that serial killer on It's Always Sunny, right?
Yeah, that was still comedic, though.
Yeah.
I have done some rather dark stuff. It's been in like just short films. I've gone out for a lot of really super dark stuff.
Right.
I'm like on a lot of casting directors' short list for child molesters.
It's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Possibly because on those crime shows, you want to look like, well, is this guy a good guy or a bad guy? He looks like a nice guy. He couldn't have possibly done that.
Right.
And then you see him turn, or you see like footage of them doing.
Did you ever do Criminal Minds? Like, I could see you on Criminal Minds. As
no,
the,
I've done
the
CSI.
Unsung.
CSI is the only procedural that I've done.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Now, do you like the dark stuff, or do you like the comedy?
I like both. I like dark comedy. I like if you combine the both of them. I really like that. I don't do it that much, just because it's not my image.
Right.
But I'm known for a pretty dark sense of humor. I would love to do more drama stuff. I think that's kind of what I'm focusing on this year.
Right.
That and more commercials.
So I do
two ends of the spectrum.
You still have the same representation of Last Time I Knew.
Like, yeah. Ellis Talent Group, which is right down the street from here.
Yep. You know, it's a funny story about Ellis. My buddy sends her my stuff. He's not an actor. He's like her banker or something. Mm. And he's like, "Oh, you'd love Jimmy." And she calls him and goes, "I love his stuff."
Mm-hmm.
She goes, "I can't represent him because there's a clause. The agency right across from it was Origin Talent."
Uh-huh.
She goes, "And they can't steal from each other."
No poaching.
So it was like, fuck. So then anyways, I moved on from Origin. I'm very happy. Everything's great. But it was because I think a buddy of mine just signed with Ellis, and he was really excited. I'm like, you know, man, she's good. She gets people up for really good stuff.
Yeah.
So. And she's right down the street anyway.
Yep.
So, I mean, you're Pasadena. So, finding this girl of your dreams, huh? Mm-hmm. How long did you think that it wasn't going to happen after?
After a divorce? You've never been divorced, right?
No.
You've been with Vanessa a long time.
You fucking been Latin Catholic. They don't believe in it. I tried.
They never prepare you for what a divorce is going to be like. You know, all throughout life, they tell you, you know, well, when you graduate, this and this happens, and your tassel gets turned here, and you're going to have a big beer party. When you get married, there's a dollar dance, and afterwards, your uncle's going to say something embarrassing. They never tell you that. You know, going through divorce is something only a divorced person understands, because you're not prepared for it. You think that you've made this lifelong commitment to somebody, and it's like when divorced people meet, it's like two Vietnam vets meeting. They're like, "Welcome home, brother."
Right.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
So it was a dark time. I probably spent a lot more time drinking than I should have.
Big depression.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you wonder, like, could I have done something different? Is this my fault? And, you know, maybe you could do something different, and maybe it is partially your fault. But it's just that the couple didn't work, you know, the coupling of those two people. So it was incredibly shattering. Didn't think I'd ever fall in love again. And then all of a sudden, you know, lightning strikes, you know, about a year after, you know, not much longer than a year after. I thought it would be 5-10 years.
Right.
I thought I'm going to be some, you know, 70-year-old guy in a home meeting a girl finally. When I was able to trust again, and you know, I met Sam, and she's one of the sweetest girls. And you know, when you meet her, she'll be one of two people. She'll be one person who's really talkative and always out there, or really shy. Luckily, she was both the night that I met her. And she just brings something out in me that's, you know, I feel relaxed, I feel comfortable, I feel safe. And I guess I bring out the same in her. And she started doing improv, and she's teaching improv at Improv Trick too now.
Right.
So,
oh, excellent.
Yeah. Who would have guessed that?
Dude, that's great. You know, that's one thing about Vanessa. Jesus Christ, nobody has ever met her and was like, "Why are you not a comedian?" You've never met her, Jamie. My wife. How funny is my fucking wife?
Incredibly funny,
dude.
Just watching the two of them together is a sitcom.
Yeah. Everybody. It's crazy, man. How funny she is, and it's like, and then you see these girls. They struggle for so long, and it's like you watch them on stage, and they're just never getting it. And I'm like, my wife's got it from the second.
Naturally, yeah.
You know, so it's amazing, but. And what about the whole, are you writing? I mean, you know, in Second City, of course, you learn how to write. I mean, are you writing scripts?
I write when ideas come to me, I write, but I'm not like necessarily putting together a package.
Yeah.
It's never been, it's just like with stand-up, it's one of those things that's never called out to me, like, you should be doing this. I never feel that. I always try to listen to that small voice inside of me that says, you know what you should be doing is this, which is one of the reasons I'm doing that short, the one-act play that I was telling you about mm-hmm. earlier. You know, something in, some little voice inside me said, yeah, you should be doing that. I love to write. I love writing with somebody else. If somebody says, hey, I want to bring you on to this. I was talking about this earlier today. We were talking over some of the stuff that we're working on for the one-act play. And then, you know, sometimes, you know, we'll need to come up with some sort of solve. And, you know, the writer isn't part of this process necessarily. He wrote mm-hmm. it, and he's, you know, mm-hmm. it's to showcase his work. Like I said, he's a genius. But sometimes, you know, like a little fill, you know, something needs to come in to fill a little crack here and there. And I'll put out a suggestion, and people will laugh, and they'll be like, that's perfect. People said I should be doing punch-up work, and I'd be like, I would love that. That's what I would love, so I don't have to, like, scratch my head, come up with a plot line.
Punch-up work. I get a lot of punch-up jobs. It's great.
Me too. I love rewrites, not writing.
Exactly.
I write the story, but I could make yours better.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, that's BASF. We don't make things. We make things better.
Yeah.
That's funny. I just got a job... just this week, I had posted it. I just got, but and it's funny because I posted it and said I'm going to post what I'm doing, but I'm not going to. Mm-hmm. I got a job writing greeting cards.
Yeah,
oh, cool.
So it's like fucking great. And I just sent a dude 5 pages of cards, like right. over 100 jokes. And he's like, these are all great. He's right. like, these are really great. Mm-hmm. So, you know, see what happens. Yeah. You know, like yeah. whichever ones, he's like, all right, I'll let you know what makes a cut. But they pay like $500 a card and 3% residuals.
Oh wow.
I
didn't know cards paid residuals. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Ain't that gnarly?
I guess the way it works is I guess they pay like twice a year or something. Mm-hmm. It's paid in January or September or something.
Take it.
But no, I was pretty excited about it because it's like, you know, I'm always writing. Well, I was just talking about this the other day with my wife. This one friend that I always hated this girl, this Asian girl, and they're no longer friends. And but she's in Jersey, and we would sit, and you know Tim, and you met Tim Amu. Mm-hmm. So Tim was sitting there with us, and we would, all the girls, and she'd be with all her girlfriends, and we'd be writing down little jokes and writing ideas. And she, like, disrespected me, this Asian bitch. She was like, yeah, that's just Jimmy. He writes down everything we say. Like, it was like, what a bitch. Yeah, this is what I do. What the fuck? I'm a comedian. What the fuck? She used to hate that.
Stop saying stupid things. Yeah. I'll stop writing them down.
Exactly. Stop giving me material.
Yeah. So the funny thing was, I literally just talked to my wife about this yesterday. That's why it popped in my head. It was about, like, she... I'm being nice. I'm driving her all around L.A., my wife's work, and I'm being a good person, even though I hate this bitch, right? So I take her to the Daily Grill at Burbank right mm-hmm. before she gets on the plane, and my mm-hmm. wife's with me at that point. And she's like, oh, no, I'm lactose intolerant. She's bitching about it to the waitress. And I go, oh, you're lactose intolerant? I go, how are you going to have a baby? What? How can you give breast milk? I'm not pregnant, you fucking ass! And I'm like, well, you need to lose some weight then.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and then my wife, they've never been friends since. But that's just a story. But so you're
that's a good game plan. Every time there's a friend of your wife you don't get along with, just accuse them of being pregnant.
Right.
They'll never forget it.
How long you're married now?
Coming on 10 years. And
okay.
Congratulations.
So I just did 10 years, right? Yeah. So I just did 10 years. So
hopefully you get off for good behavior.
I never... I can't... It's been the hardest thing in the world for me to find a couple that I like both of them.
Oh, mm-hmm. right.
Like, my boy's like, yeah, I got this girl. She's great. Like, oh, I hate this bitch. Right. Like, have you found some peeps?
Yes, but we grow into liking them. It's like we tolerate one for a couple of years, and then you kind of grow to like them after a couple of years, and you see that whatever you hate about them is honest. If it's honest, I'm okay. If they're not just doing it for me and they do it for the whole world, I'm kind of okay with it more. Like, so we do have a couple of friends, and I wish I could name them out right.
Yeah. Do you have any friends?
I have no friends whatsoever. No. It's tough. The whole couples friends thing.
It is fucking
like
brutal,
well,
man.
I'll tell Santa and be like, hey, there's this great couple. They're really sweet people. I know them for years. And she goes, why do I want to meet them?
Yeah.
Well, because they're friends of mine. Okay. You know? And I kind of feel the same way. You know, luckily we're out here. I don't have to get dragged around on any couple dates.
Because
most of our friends who are couples are friends of mine who are already couples.
Right.
And Sam's like, okay, these people I can tolerate.
Right, they're cool.
So,
exactly.
So she's the one that gets to flip the friend switch on and off.
Yeah.
Because if she doesn't like them, then I'm like, okay, great. I don't like them either.
I guess we're not going out with them.
Exactly.
Well, I have a lot of girls, as I joke, I say my gumas, you know. Mm-hmm. I go out to lunch with them, and they're my friends.
Yeah.
And I'll say to my wife, I say, you know, you really should hang with her more. She's like, she's your friend.
Right.
You
yeah.
bitch about me to her. She goes, I can't bitch about you now.
It's that dynamic.
Like, you know,
the women
I'm like, but she loves you. She's
board.
Like, I know. She's like, I like her too, but I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's so it's tough. So it's actually funny because I'm thinking about doing like a Tim does meetup groups. Tim, the most unlike orthodox person, you know, he's normally my co-host. He's not here now, right? Tim is fucking like, he calls me the other day. He's like, you know, I'm out running around to an audition. And he's like, hey, I signed us up for a meetup group to play basketball. I'm like, you suck at basketball. He goes, no, it's with girls. I swear to God. Girls, how are we in? He goes, well, it's co-ed, but guys don't want to play with the girls, but we can.
Oh, yeah. That's a good. I like that. Because I always want to get into sports, too, but I'm like, I know the guys that are still playing sports right now are so competitive that I'm going to be holding them back. I'm going to be the guy who's still always picked last.
Right.
That's a good one. I like that. Or some sort of co-ed. Some sort of co-ed sports would be a great idea.
Well, I was playing my buddy Tommy. The guy is fucking 47, 40, something like that, 47, I think. And he still, like, works out every day. But he's not, like, Diesel, but he's in shape.
Right.
And we play one-on-one at the court. And I'm like, and you know, I got the jumper, I got my drives and shit, but then he's like fucking playing really hard. I'm like, you play like we're 17, dude. I'm fucking 40 years old, man. I'm gonna hurt myself.
We're not playing for $1,000.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, like I used to play for money all the time. Me and my best friend Jay, we played 2-on-2, 3. So it's changed. I mean, you being, you know, we're heavy set guys.
Yeah.
Were you ever skinny?
No. I was underweight when I was born. Probably that was the first time I was ever underweight in my life. My mom was sick. There were complications, and so I think she kind of overcompensated for that. She wanted to make sure, hey, he's okay. Here's this, and you know, my family loves to eat, so I've always been a big eater. I'm kind of trending towards really wanting to lose weight. I had lost a bunch of weight. It's a shame that you didn't see me like about a year ago because I dropped a bunch of weight, about almost 30, 40 pounds, something like that. And then I got lazy, started eating the same again, got out of the exercise
habits. She cooking for you or are you cooking?
I cook mostly for us. She has some really specialty good stuff. She likes to, and this is the tough part, she loves to cook desserts. She loves to cook, you know, muffins and cookies and stuff like that. So that's the tough part.
Fuck yeah.
Does your wife make the Indian food?
Yeah,
Jamie?
I don't eat that shit. I eat 13 foods. My wife's Hindu, and like, so I don't eat most of it. I'm a meat eater.
Mm-hmm. But she makes chicken and curry and all that. Yeah, right.
I'll eat the meat of whatever.
But I like that the Indian rice, the way they make that rice.
Oh,
I really
basmati rice.
Yeah, basmati, right? I love that.
Can't stand it.
It sticks together easier. Yeah. It's, that's what I like about
it. Can't stand it.
Worst eater ever. So she hates me for that. Like, because it's so.
Oh, you're fussy.
So limited. I'm picky as shit. I wrap meat around other meat. And that's it.
Yeah. Well, that big. Celebrity event I went with, I said on the last one, Mark Feuerstein was the host. So I'm sitting there, and my wife's friend Camille, they all work together, and she's there. And she's like, Jimmy, do you want my salad? Jimmy, I think my chicken's too pink. Do you want my chicken? I'm like, yeah, give me chicken. Give me salad. Like, I don't care. I'm like, whatever. I don't care.
Goddamn right.
Guess how much it was? You guys can never imagine. Guess how much a plate. To be at that event was. It was the Beverly Hilton.
Right.
And listen, she won the humanitarian award. Her boss won the humanitarian award for the ADL.
Okay, let's see. And humanitarians are usually very rich because they only have
anti-defamation, time and money. Right? Anti-defamation league.
Oh, wait, you just upped the ante.
What is it, $500?
Very close.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Can you believe it?
Wow.
And all we had was chicken. Right. Chicken, a little salad. I'm like, for that?
Just are you to be here.
You know, and it was for her boss that paid for me and my wife and that whole table. You know,
oh, yeah.
Like,
count me
that,
in.
You know, that was, you know what I mean?
He said, pay me. I had to wear. For me? Oh,
shit.
I'll be there.
I had to wear a suit.
Another chicken.
I had to wear a suit. I had to put a tie on. I mean, I hate that.
I
man.
Hate it.
The whole time I'm sitting
I love wearing a suit and tie.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what it is about the way I was like brought up or like parts of my life where I always had to wear a tie.
Right.
But I just got into it, and I feel more myself when I look better. I look more in shape when I've got a suit filling out my shoulders and a tie slimming down the whole thing.
Nah, man, I hate it. Yeah. You know, it's funny to talk about ties. I got my buddy is the star of Mob City. You guys watch Mob City?
Oh, yet? Yeah.
Yeah, I watched the first episode.
He's Mickey Cohen. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
He's huge this weekend. Tonight, he's got the two really big. Yeah, but yeah. So they got the short ties in that whole thing. So yesterday, I was going to do the short tie. I was like, nah, you're not fucking doing Mob City. at this. But I wore all black, and this is all Jewish. You know, this is a main Jewish thing. I think they had that, the Star of David or whatever it was. But anyways, yeah, it's amazing. That's one thing. We've talked about this before, like, and I actually posted about it the other day. That's why I'm bringing it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and you know, Jamie knows famous people. You know, I'm not asking my famous friends for stuff. Like, it's just not me. Here's a guy who fucking came up with Steve Carell, Cobra. You could call me. You know what? I want to buy a house. Can I be a correspondent for a year on your show? You know what I mean? Like, and people are like. And friends of mine, like, that aren't in the business, like, how come you don't ask this dude for something? It's like, what the fuck, man? I just...
Nah, nobody wants to be that friend.
No. Yeah. But there are those friends. I watch the entourages. No. I hate them, man.
I look at my phone with certain people, and I know he's about to ask me for something.
Mm-hmm.
I know when I see his name
that
he's going to... And that feeling is because I like the person otherwise... But it's draining when you know
exactly
they want something
like
from you.
Like the message you gave me the other day, you're like, yeah, hit me on this because that other email don't hit me because that's my can I borrow some money email.
Right. Yeah, he sent me a private message on Facebook because I'm on there a lot. I mean, it's not a bad place.
Yeah.
It's not a bad idea that you can catch me there. I'm there often.
Yeah.
But I try to stay away from the private messages.
Right.
Because that's where my not-so-close family members call and think I'm doing great. You know how they all think we're doing greater than we are.
Yeah.
Just because we're happy about what we're doing. And I post that I'm happy about what I'm doing in my work, that they swear I'm a millionaire. So, they immediately, yo, can I, you know, I need $1,000. Yo, I need it's never $50.
It's never always 50, like
$1,100.
Right? Yeah.
For real? Like, I saw you when I was 8 at a reunion, and you friended me on Facebook. We're friends for 2 months, and then you start asking. Like,
I had a dude hit me up the other day. I never even met him, right? He's my uncle's. daughter's son. I've never met the dude. He's like, oh, well, Uncle Ralph talked about you all the time, man. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be out in L.A. Maybe you can hook me up with acting. I'm like, yo, here's the deal. I fucking hate Uncle Ralph. And that's it.
Right.
And I'm deleting and blocking you, so you might not even see this. I had added them.
You delete and block more people than anyone. And then you talk about it on Facebook. I read something earlier today. You were talking about my boy deleted and blocked.
Yep. I know. My boy wrote that. Told me the other day, he's like, you gotta open a production company called Delete and Block. So I posted.
That is good. And my shit is, yo, my best friend's a rapper. Get him on. Like, put him on. I'm like, I make television and movies. Like, I don't do anything in music anymore. Like, I don't do anything in music at all. But you can help. You know people, right? You know them. Like, no, that's how it works. I can just, yeah, Clive Davis.
Yeah.
Let me talk to Clive. Yeah, I made a movie.
I'm bringing my man Abdul Abbott, who directed me in this Ollie G thing, 10 episodes thing I did. Mm-hmm. Play it Ollie G, like a parody thing. And he's coming on, and I said to him, I said, man, I cannot believe you don't just call up Jay-Z, because he is the reason he did Jay-Z's first, second, and third video. He directed them.
Right.
And Jay-Z won't even talk to him now, like, because Jay-Z's dudes. Like, if he sees Jay, he'll be like, it's cool, love, right? Mm-hmm. But he can't get to him because he got those fucking dudes that are like the buffers. Walls, mm-hmm. The buffers, man.
Yeah, you get to a billion and this changes.
Yeah, right.
There's in betweens.
You know, talk about Jay-Z for a second. It blows me away. But that's the power of rap and music. It blows me away that Bill Maher is like such a huge fan of Jay-Z.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like he made that book of all his rhymes since he was a kid. Like, it was like, mm-hmm. Oh my god, dude, Bill Maher, like, all you do is fucking listen to Jay-Z and fuck hookers. Is that what it is? Like,
you like this drug dealing rap, drug dealing murder rap.
I mean, it feels like a gangster,
right? It does.
I think that's what
it takes you on the journey through the hood, and he does paint a great picture,
right? Mm-hmm. That's hilarious. That's a whole other thing. What type of, you know, I don't normally ask this, mm-hmm. but like,
what type of porno are you in?
Crush.
Like, you
strictly Crush.
You your nationality, mm-hmm. Cot. Are there other cots all over the world?
Yeah, there are. There's even people who are from India who have the last name Cot.
Chott.
It's originally a Bohemian name. It was originally Katova. Chottova.
So you're Russian?
No, it's Bohemian. There was
he's like, pay attention. I said, it's a Bohemian name. So you're Russian.
Usually people think I'm being like, you know, it's Bohemian. You know, like, I'm unusual. But actually, there was a section of Europe, Eastern Europe, called Bohemia, that was partially Czechoslovakia,
okay.
Partially Germany, partially Poland. Okay. And when the Kott family kind of like migrated over, they dropped the last part of it there. At least I'm just finding out that the last couple of years or so. And then Bohemia, of course, got ripped apart by World War I or whatever happened before World War I. And now there's not even a Czechoslovakia anymore. It's Czech Republic and Slovakia, I guess.
Yeah. So. Have you ever looked at any Czechoslovakian porn?
I have not.
I have.
Oh, my God. Son, Czech streets. Czech. Yeah, it's like Czech streets.
Is
there a big Czech porn
industry? Yes, and let me explain it.
Oh, yeah. You can explain it while I jerk off.
It's actually, Czech is big on making regular people do porno for money.
Yeah.
So they'll go to a bus stop, talk to a parent or a chick on a bus stop, and try to persuade her into coming into an alley and blowing him. And he'll offer money and offer fame and success. And
sometimes if I had a budget, I'd become a Czech porn producer.
Yeah, sometimes it's a 10-minute conversation of talking this girl into it. Then she, hurry up.
Then she's turning around. She's like, hurry up. But yeah, wait, quick impression, so awesome. Quick impression for Jamie, because I want you to go Google this porn thing.
Yeah.
All right. So quick impression of for Jamie. This is Brooklyn Buddha doing an impression of the Czechoslovakian guy trying to get the girl to give up the pussy. Maybe show me a little bit your tit. Maybe a little bit your pussy. No. That's how he says it.
So, in other words, for Czech porn, you kind of need to take Karis negotiation classes for foreplay.
Little bit your tit.
Oh, God. They ask them for barely anything for some money. Yeah. And then once you get back there, they ask you to do everything.
Then he does this. Listen, there's another Brooklyn Buddha porn impression.
No, that's awesome.
So, and then he goes, 20,000 Czech crown. Czech crowns. It's like, I don't know. It's like $200. I don't know. What
I got to get in my iPhone and just do a little bit of conversion.
Yeah, it's like $3.
20,000 Czech crowns. So, yo, there's, you know, it's fucking hilarious. We're talking about porn. There's fake taxi. You ever look at fake taxi?
Mm-hmm. The dude takes
her for a ride in the taxi. And he's like, if she's nasty, he'll like fucking turn and he'll go, all right, and she'll go, where are you going? And he'll say, nah, whatever. And he's videotaping her. He has a video in there, and he'll say, look, you're gonna have to pay me this. And if they don't pay him, he'll say, suck my dick or whatever it is. And then she'll start sucking his dick, and then he'll like start touching the camera. She goes, what's that? He goes, well, I got you on tape. Sucking my dick, so now you gotta fuck me, otherwise I'm gonna tell your husband.
Oh.
And then she's like, well, don't show it on it. He goes, I'm not gonna show it on the internet. It's for me. It's almost, it's crazy.
Internet's awesome.
Yeah, internet porn is, let me tell you, you guys are losers if you're buying memberships. I jerk off in 3-minute samples.
God, and there's sites full of them.
You're like,
you can type whatever you want, like Cambodian piss porn.
Yeah.
And then 32 videos are gonna come up. It's like, for real, there's a whole fucking market.
Well, you know, it's funny because years ago you could put in like Cambodia piss porn and it'd be like, there was none, right? And now you're like Cambodia, it's like fucking 6 pages, you're like, and then you're like, oh, 6 pages, cool.
Now I gotta choose.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's right, ladies. I posted this on Facebook earlier. What do we do at our time off? We jerk the fuck off. It doesn't matter. It's if we're married. I mean, you still jerk it off even though you're married, right?
Yeah. Of course.
Occasionally.
Occasionally, each time per day.
Yeah. So only day is an ending day.
You know, it's. It's amazing. The other day, we're on the hold with the DMV. They fucked up my last name. Last name's Della Valley. They put James Della, and then Valley was they. So they put my first name is James Della, then Valley is my last. Yeah. So we had to go, and we're on hold. And my wife is at work, and put it on hold. And I'm like, let me get my iPad, because it said it was
like a 30-minute wait, son.
So
I get 10 times out of this.
So I fucking jerked off, and she's going, Jimmy. So I'm not answering, right? And now I get a text. She's like, where are you? Are you in the bathroom? And I text. I go, no, I couldn't hear you. She's like, I'm calling your name, like. I'm fucking.
And you're like, I know, it's helping me get that quicker.
That is funny.
Yeah, that's what's up. Mm-hmm. Cool. All right. So
your show spiraled.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Good.
It's great.
It's all good, man. I want it.
I'll tell you, after listening to the other show, I was like, there's a lot of salty language on this podcast. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens if we get through the first half. But I'm like, oh, nice. Now I can tell my mom to listen to this one. Nope.
Nope.
First half.
First half.
Cut her a clip.
Yeah. That's like my stand-up act. You know, it is funny because comics sometimes will tell me, they're like, man, you should just be dirty the whole time. They're like, you got something special about it, quick, fast. And because I'll try to start it like clean and near the middle to the end, I'll go dirtier and dirtier and dirtier. Mm. And people are like, you just do dirty all the time. And I'm like, oh my God, I don't know, you know.
So what do you think your, to get back on subject,
yeah.
mm-hmm. what do you think your dream job would be?
My dream job? Man, I would love to be a series regular on a sitcom. Yeah. That's what I think I'd have the most fun doing.
Right.
You know, one that lasts a good long time so that I don't have to keep on looking for more jobs mm-hmm. to work, you know, those normal hours, normal people hours, so I can have a life, have time off. And then, like, you know, in the summers or whatever, or whenever the off season is for the show, right. do some live theater. Because I really thrive off a live audience more than anything else.
Right.
So that'd be my dream job, I think.
Well, he auditioned for Jim on The Office. Or Dwight.
Oh.
Long time ago.
So they posted a while ago the guys that had, like, it was on the call sheet, and it was him. Him and
right.
and I think
Rainn Wilson.
Yeah, Rainn Wilson. Job, yeah, yeah.
Several other really talented people.
So going up for The Office, what do you think is your closest? Because I mean, I got stories on top of stories, but mm-hmm. what is your closest to, like, holy shit, this is a life changer, and you almost get it, and then you don't get it.
Probably Saturday Night Live.
Okay.
That was like the most highest profile thing that I was like, you know, I was right there. I was, you know, in front of Lorne Michaels, you know, standing there, Studio 8H, you know, but this was like before the Dana Carvey show.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Dana Carvey show, that was a good opportunity, but it only lasted 6 weeks. Saturday Night Live, obviously iconic, something that I had dreamed about since I started, acting, and definitely since I started doing improv. And I got up there and I did. I was following the advice of some of my best friends, mm-hmm. which was, and I've told this story on a couple other podcasts, so I hope you understand it's not virgin material. But it was they said you got to do your impression of Jackie Gleason taking a difficult crap,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, okay, because we used to do that in the improv set at Second City all the time, and it killed. It would always get a great. Mm-hmm. response. So I'm up there for my audition. I'm told, don't expect laughter. You're not going to get laughter. Just do your bits. And I started with my Rush Limbaugh impression, and I'm getting laughter. And I'm, you know, it's really started to succeed. And I was like, okay, great. I nailed this. It's coming my way. All I got to do is just keep it going. I want to run, you know, ram it home with one of my heaviest hitters. And no response at all. And then it goes downhill from there, and I start shaking and getting nervous. And I wound up, I think I blew it. Because of my response to the lack of response. If I would have just been cool, I think now at this point in my life, I would have gone, okay, great, that didn't hit. I'll go back, keep on doing some more.
Right.
And then years later, when I was auditioning for the Dana Carvey show, Robert Smigel comes up to me and said, could you do your impression of Jackie Gleason taking a difficult shit for Dana? And I was like, no, why? And he goes, because I was there and watched you do that in your Saturday Night Live audition, and I was laughing because I knew that, first of all, I knew it was hilarious, and I also was laughing because I knew Lorne Michaels was hating it. And so... Because apparently he likes to, like, push his boundaries.
Right.
So actually, the fact that I... that it didn't get Saturday Night Live was why I actually got the Dana Carvey show.
Dana Carvey, right.
Which led to me being on Saturday Night Live, because we started the Ambiguously Gay Duo cartoons
right.
on Dana Carvey and wound up on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. So, for my Brooklyn Buddha fans, you've got to do Jackie Gleason, the greatest. You've got to do it, right,
it's
Jamie?
It's all visual. It's not even going to play.
I can't even hear it?
Grunts. I could do it for you, and you can decide for yourself whether you're going to...
All right, we can always
right.
cut it.
All right, here
we
go. It was just that.
That's funny.
That was fucking very good, man.
That was funny.
Lorne Michaels don't know what he's talking about.
I'm just joking.
At this point, go ahead and say it.
Exactly. Well, as you talk about, like, I'm going to wrap this up in a second, but I do have to ask you a couple of my things.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I never aspired. Like, Tony Rock, I know he was always like, man, I really want to be on fucking Saturday Night Live. It's just not the same Saturday Night Live that we came up with, so I don't really aspire to be.
At this point, I don't really any longer. You know? No insult to the show. They have a great cast of people. They work well together. But it's not what it was.
Right.
Yeah, it's not.
And to its credit, which I heard somebody recently, I think Michael Che, who's a writer over there.
Yeah.
He was like, the way we look back on it is we put up today's shows against the highlights.
Yes.
Like, we put up against the best Eddie Murphy, the best Will Ferrell. Mm-hmm. We don't even think about the ones that bombed back then that we didn't think were funny.
Right.
And I feel like there was always ones that weren't funny. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the way we look at it now is like we put it up against the greatest that ever was. So it's almost can't compare. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and when you go back and watch like the best of this season or whatever, you'll have a great time and there'll be great characters.
There's still some great skits on
that. Is.
Like, I was like, okay, yeah, I guess I'll be a little less harsh because I'm pretty harsh on it now. Like, whereas, I have some friends that still like almost watch it religiously, don't understand that. Like, I'm like, I haven't done that since I was 12 years old. Like, watching it still, religiously.
Sadly, I watch it every once in a while. You watch it every week?
Yeah, I still watch it. I'm so sad that way. Throughout college, I would leave college parties to get back into the dorm room in time to watch it on my TV.
Right, exactly.
And then what was next after Saturday Night Live? Showtime at the Apollo tonight. That was my show, bro. Anyways, one thing I ask all my guests, I like to know, as we joked about porn... Bill Kott is your name, and you are Czechoslovakian. What would your
Bohemian?
What would your porn name be?
My porn name would be. I've never thought of if I needed to have a porn name.
You gotta tell Sam you got a porn name after you leave.
Hey, baby, guess what? How about the bounced check?
The bounced check.
Maybe you show me routing number.
That's awesome.
The bounce check. That shit is bananas. That's funny. I like that a lot. I like that. Now, not porn, what would your mafia name be?
My mafia name? 300.
300.
I drive a Chrysler 300.
Okay.
So people say it's kind of a gangster car.
Yeah.
So that would be my
300. Be my, I like it.
300. Yeah. It works. Bill 300.
Yeah, Billy.
And that doesn't
Billy
mean
Billy 300. You know,
that's not his weight. That's the car he drives.
Billy 300.
I'm way over 300 at this point.
Billy 300.
I exaggerate. You know, I exaggerate.
Good. So, and last but not least, what is your favorite swear word?
My favorite swear word. I think it's suck and fuck.
suck and fuck.
I will. Obviously, I would never say that in public, but if I'm pissed off at myself and I've done something really stupid and I've left something behind or I've lost something or deleted some file, I'll probably say like 15
suck and fuck. Suck and fuck.
Yeah, that's great.
Suck and fuck. That is great. I've never had suck and fuck for
check that off your list.
That is great.
We used to have a girl in our neighborhood. We called suck and fuck.
We called it suck and fuck. I think you probably find it on the Czechoslovakian porn site. Maybe you suck your fuck, you know.
It was because she was a good math tutor.
Nice. Cool. So, where can these people see you next? What? Any TV? Any residuals? Any reruns coming up?
Coming up on an episode of The Millers.
Oh, the fucking Millers. Love The Millers.
It's an episode called Miller's Mind. It's at the top of the show, so they can't cut it out, thank God. And I'm doing a show this Friday at IO West, opening night, the improvised musical. And if people want to find out more about other shows that I'm doing, improv jams or improv classes, they can go to my website, which is www.theimprovtrick.com.
TheImprovTrick.com.
The Improv Trick.
Are you on Twitter or Facebook?
We're on Twitter, Facebook, almost anywhere you can go online
and find
put in the word Improv Trick, you shall find me.
Is that at the Improv Trick?
It's at Improv Trick on Twitter.
Okay.
And it's on Facebook. It's Facebook.com/ImprovTrick.
Sweet.
Well, good, man. This has been a great talk.
Thank you.
I'm so glad you came. That's about it. That's it. Brooklyn Buddha, we're out. See you next time, bitches.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You ain't heard nothing yet.
Houston, we have a problem.
They're here.
Stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.